Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today on the show, I have got a lot of fun stuff because, you know, this is an internet show, and we all hang out on the internet who listen to this, and I thought it'd be really great to bring together four designers, bloggers who have done a lot with internet quilt communities. They've built communities. They have all kinds of fun stuff that they do, and I want you to learn about it if you haven't already met these four guests. So we're going to go one at a time through them, and they are just like super active and fun people, and I'm really excited for my first guest, who is Penny Lehman of So Take a Hike. That's her website name. So hi, Penny. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
I am so excited to have you on here.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here.
So tell me, how did you start quilting, or why did you start quilting to begin with?
You know, I really don't know. I never wanted to be a quilter. I just wanted to sew. And it just kind of, I think I just started looking at more and more blogs that were quilting, and it just started intriguing me more and more. So I thought I'd give it a try. And wow, was I in for a surprise when I started.
Did you just sort of go nuts all at once?
I don't think nuts all at once, but I saw a design that I really, really liked, and I think that kind of exploded in my mind. And then when I started doing it, I wasn't so excited about it until I, you know, figured out the niche of paper piecing, and then I went crazy.
Then you went crazy. So tell me, how long have you had your blog?
I've had it since June of 2007.
Ah, that's a pretty long time.
Yeah. I actually wanted to name it Take a Hike, and my husband, he thought that that would be a little too edgy, so he said, you should put the so on the front of it.
I like the so on the front of it. He did good. Tell him he did good with that one. So did you decide to do a blog? You know, you had been reading them, so was that why you just wanted to share, or what?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine had told me about blogs probably 4 months earlier, and I had no idea what a blog was, but I started looking at sewing blogs and crafting blogs, and just I was addicted. So I thought, I have a lot to share. I need to start a blog.
That's right. That's right. It's like a journal, isn't it?
It is.
So what happened as far as, you know, you started blogging, you started sharing what you do. How did the community start to happen for you? You know, the people who started, who found you and started following what you were writing and hanging out. What was, you know, did that surprise you?
No, because I think I have a lot of great things to share. So I guess it didn't surprise me, but I think it started happening more when I would post more tutorials on my blog because it would come up in searches, I think.
Right,
so it was
right.
a really, it was a hard niche to get into for people to actually find a blog. And you really have to build that sense of readership through visiting other people's blogs and, you know, having relationships with people, genuine relationships.
Right, right. So you would, like, go visit your friends, people you admired, and you'd comment there, right? Like you would go visit someone else's blog and hang out, leave them a comment, and then they would come and see what you were doing?
Yeah, sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't, but, and that's okay, too. I mean, when you blog, it takes a lot of time, and I don't everybody to leave a comment, because if you're visiting 10 blogs and you leave a comment on every one, it takes a lot of time. So,
well, that's true. That's very true. It does take a lot of time. And I know it's hard for everybody to leave comments, but you can see people are reading it by your statistics and
exactly
things like that. So you fell in love with paper piecing that, and have you done, do you do other things besides paper piece?
Oh, I do. You know, I do improv quilting. I'm not so much to get a pattern and follow the mm-hmm. pattern. I just get bored with making the same block over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I have done it. If I find one that I love the aesthetics of enough, I'll certainly do a pattern. Mm-hmm. So I kind of do more improv most of the time and paper piecing.
Now, at some point, you started doing some round robins.
Yes.
Based on your paper piecing. Tell me about the Ringo Pie Bee that you're in, which is a private group of friends.
It is. You know, when I really started getting into paper piecing, I really wasn't very good at it yet. Mm-hmm. And I still have a lot to learn. But one of the people that I would call her more of an acquaintance at the time, mm-hmm. but I really admired her work, was Ayumi. So I emailed her with the proposition because I knew she was super good at paper piecing. And I mm-hmm. said, I have an idea. Let's start a patchwork bee. And we started brainstorming. I told her, we were emailing back and forth, and I said, well, I wanted something to do with sweets. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with Ringo Pie because pie is a sweet, and Ringo means apple in Japanese. And she's Japanese, and she wanted to have a little part of Japanese in there. So it fit in perfect.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so we started that bee together, and it's just been an awesome learning journey with it. So it's challenging.
And this is something where you swap blocks like you would in person, but you're doing it online and by mail?
Exactly. So every month there's a person that gets blocks from other members of the bee, and they choose a theme. Mm-hmm. So you have full creative license to do whatever you want as long as it fits in that theme. So, I mean, it's just an amazing creative outlet for sure.
And you share those blocks. Like, I'm back just not that long ago. Was it beginning, middle of January, you were sharing some blocks that you traded. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just amazingly detailed.
That is the beauty of paper piecing. It covers a multitude of sins. So you can get incredibly detailed and intricate designs mm-hmm. when you paper piece, just from the way it works out.
Now, besides you have an amazing amount of tutorials. Are you doing published patterns as well? Because you have an Etsy site.
Yes. I have a few patterns that I sell, and then I've been in a few publications as well.
And I'm just going to tell them your blog again. So, takeahike.typepad.com. So you can go out there and see what Penny's up to. But Penny, tell me about the process that you shared at the end of January about taking a photograph and creating a block from it. It was a porch umbrella.
Oh, that was really fun. Cerro paper is something that I use occasionally when I'm not doing paper piecing. I haven't figured out a way to use it with paper piecing yet. Mm-hmm. But I basically just traced an image that I really, really liked onto some fabric and then sewed the fabric on the other side and then trimmed around it. And mm-hmm. it gives you a raw edge applique on one side, but it's just really effective and a neat way to do it so that you don't have to trim the fabric before you actually sew it onto your block.
And these are, I mean, it's really adorable. And you took everybody step by step so that they could see how to, you know, once you traced it on there, it was pretty easy. Let's see. We got Penny there. Hey, so we may have lost Penny. So they're getting Penny back here. So while we're waiting for Penny to jump back on, we had a bad connection. You can go to her sotakeahike.typepad.com and scroll back through there, look at some of her paper piecing. One of the really cool things about the paper piecing is how intricate and sharp Penny has gotten some of the things. She has on her blog a free pattern for a pop bottle curtain. You know, just think like the old time soda bag, soda pops. Hey, Penny, are you back?
I am. I'm sorry about that, Pat.
No problem. No problem. I was just talking about how, you know, intricate you can be with your paper piecing. What kind of, you know, you're going to be teaching that locally, the paper piecing?
Yes, so where, I have it. I'll be at the Inn at City Park here in Fort Collins. It's a bed and breakfast, and it's the weekend of April 20 through 22nd.
Cool.
And it's just a fabulous weekend. It's a lot of fun.
Can you give us just a tip for people who haven't done a lot of paper piecing? You know, because you've taught it so much and done so much with it. What do we have to watch out for to be successful?
Oh, you know, the one thing that you need to watch for is that make sure you have a big enough piece of fabric to work with, because it's deceiving. You think you need a small piece and then you flip it over and it's not big enough in just the right area. So paper piecing chews a lot of fabric up. You're going to have a lot of scraps, but I have a technique that I use to help cut down on that because I use my scraps for other things. So I think that would be the biggest thing. Don't get frustrated if you have to unpick, because that's just the learning curve that everybody goes through.
I think that's excellent, because I know that whenever I paper piece, I take like huge pieces of fabric just because I don't want to have to unpick. Just get it out there. Get it out there. So, when you're at this retreat that you're teaching, are you going to be just doing paper piecing?
Yeah, we'll just be doing paper piecing. I'll be giving some tips and tricks on how to do it more successfully, and also how to design your own blocks from images that you've drawn or images that you've seen so that you can get the perfect result that you want.
Cool. So, Penny, I've just, you know, this has been really fun to have you on here and share about the things that you do with your community.
Thank you for having me, Pat. It's been fun.
Oh, thank you so much. And everybody should go out and see Penny Lehman's site. So take a hike.typepad.com. And, you know, you can check out her Flickr. Also, I have a link on my site, so you can go to her Flickr. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Dana from the Old Red Barn.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and today's show was all about designers and bloggers who have built internet communities, really fun internet communities. So I'm really happy to have Dana Bolyard on, who is from the Old Red Barn blog. It's oldredbarnco.blogspot.com. You can get the link off my blog. So hi, Dana, how are you?
I'm great, Pat. How about you?
Oh, I'm really happy to have you on here. You know, I have read your blog for a long time.
Oh, thank you. That is so nice to say. We have been in contact with each other for a number of years. You joined us and, in fact, led one of our quilt alongs.
I did. That was really fun. Your people are like good doobies, your followers.
They are. And they're just my friends. They're just a group, an online community that we support each other and we encourage each other. And yeah, you're absolutely right. They're just good people.
Yeah, I just loved it because they were so anxious to do. We're talking about sew-alongs, everybody, since Dana and I know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
She hosts all these sew-alongs on Flickr. And
yeah.
So that's a different way of hosting them. There are a few out there, but your Flickr sew-along area is called oldredbarnco.quiltalong. So people, you have like over 1,600 people in your group. Oh my gosh, so how did that start? How did you end up starting that quilt along spot?
Well, back in 2009, it was probably late 2008, I had an idea to have a quilt along on my blog. And throughout it, I had great giveaways and things like that. And I really tried to just demystify quilting for those that have never done it before, because it can be kind of intimidating. It seems like a lot of scary techniques and so many steps to learn. But I just kind of wanted to show people, because I, you know, on a blog, I get lots of questions from people and comments about whatever quilts I'm making. And
right.
I just wanted to show people, look, there's not a quilting police force out there that's going to come knock on your door and say you've done something wrong. There's lots of ways to do every single step. You can do it the way I'm going to show you, or you can do it a thousand different ways, but just do it, because I think that you'll like it. And so I had this idea, and as a part of it, I started a Flickr group so that people could share their photos of what they were making, and also a nice place to ask questions and have them answered. And when that original quilt ended, the people there didn't want to stop.
Oh.
they didn't want it to be over with one quilt, and so we made another one, and then we made another one, and to date we've made 11.
Wow.
Together, and we're getting ready to start a new one on March 1st.
And they're March 1st. Oh, cool. So everybody can get in on that. That's
absolutely.
Yay.
And that's another thing about it is, you know, just because it's not currently actively going on, you can make any of those 11 quilts we've made at any time. The instructions are, you can always find the instructions. I try to keep a list of where you can go to find the instructions, and they're there forever. I mean, you can start and finish anytime that you want. But yeah, we're getting ready to start a new one on March 1st.
Oh, and your group just cracks me up. You know, I love them because they are like, what's next? When's the next part? Can't you tell us sooner? I mean, they get all excited. And, you know, that's what it's about, the community, isn't it? Just having, it's a bunch of friends hanging
out. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Ooh.
And that's why I love it so much. And I feel like, sure, my family and my real life friends and, you know, my husband and my kids, of course, they say, oh, that's really pretty. Oh, that's nice. But they don't get excited like my online quilting community does when I show a new stack of fabric that I just scored at the fabric shop. You know, they just don't quite get it the same as these like-minded people that I am lucky to call friends online.
I know. I so understand that. It's like you can show like, you know, like a bobbin and people will get super excited. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, look at bobbin. And we're all like, yes, a bobbin.
Yeah. Isn't that the best? I mean, it's because, you know, you're so excited and then there's all these people that can be equally excited with you.
Mm-hmm. I really love the Flickr format that has developed over time, and you know the quilt alongs. A lot of people are now using that, so people should really explore it if they haven't, because it's different than when you do it on your blog. Yeah. It's a different kind of interaction back and forth. You can actually reply to somebody else's comment more easily you always can in Flickr, whereas some blogs don't allow that, like mine doesn't.
Right.
Are you still running anything on your blog, or you've sort of moved it all over to Flickr? I mean, I know you have you post all the time on your blog, but as far as your quilt alongs, they all are on the Flickr, right?
They're on the Flickr, and because that way other people can be leading them, and it's not just driven by me, because it's a community. It's not, hey, here's Dana again. It's not about me. It's about all of us. And that's, you know, like when you joined us and led us on one, and I've led two of the 11, but all of the others have been other people. So Flickr is just a way facilitate that better, I think.
Yeah, very. Now, your blog, people must follow your blog, because I think I followed it back. I don't know if it was before or around the time that you like gave a quilt away and a sewing machine. And I don't know. You were a crazy woman. You were giving away all this stuff. And then I know I'm like, oh, my gosh, who is this? And
she's, why is she doing that?
I know. It was fun. But you recently found a really super thrift store find. Tell us about that.
I did. Well, I'm a pretty avid thrift store shopper. I go probably at least once a week, and I'm lucky to have several thrift shops in my little community. Mm-hmm. And my mother-in-law, who lives in Joplin, Missouri, she said to me years ago, she said, if you ever find an old Singer sewing machine, please, please let me know about it and pick it up for me. Mm-hmm. Now, she's been a quilter for years, and so that's always been in the back of my mind. And I walk into this quilt or this thrift shop the other day, and this really cool case, and I'm like, well, what's in the case? And I open it up, and I literally almost fell over, because there was this most pristine, beautiful, antique Singer sewing machine, and I literally almost fell over. It was so beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Dana has pictures of it. It's a featherweight.
Yeah, well, and there's some debate about that it's an actual featherweight. I've gotten some emails, and that's another great thing about the online community. Mm. It's an instant resource.
Yes.
You know, oh, they can identify it. They can pinpoint it. They can narrow it down. Now, I'm not a Singer expert, but plenty of people online are, and we're sure to point out what they thought it was.
That's right. They'll be sharing all kinds of links for you to research that. So.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, you can print them for your mother-in-law so she can,
I will.
Can go through it.
She's going to enjoy it. She has a featherweight, and she's going to enjoy this one and sew on it. And she's thrilled regardless.
Yes. Cool. Now, Dana, you've had an opportunity to meet your online friends in person.
Some of them, yes. I've been so fortunate to meet several.
And you did one, you did an event recently, or last year, like the Sewing Summit. Didn't you go to that one and meet some of the people?
I did. That was in October of last year in Salt Lake City. It was their inaugural event. It'll be again this October. It was, I can't remember just how many people they said were in attendance, but I know it was at least 200 people. Mm-hmm. And it was like a 48-hour pajama party with really, really creative, really inspiring, friendly sewists. It was fabulous.
Yes. Yeah, that was really fun, because a lot of the people do blog that went to that. I'm sure not all of them, but a lot of them did. That's where the core group for the first event came from. So I was really excited to see all the pictures everybody posted afterwards.
Yeah, it was a great event.
So do you have a quilt that you personally want to make as a quilter now that you've, you know, you've made quite a few? You make a lot of quilts. You're pretty prolific. But is there something sitting out there that you're like, ah, I have to do this because I'm a quilter?
Not really. If I start listing out what I want to make, I start to get bogged down, if that makes any sense. I start to feel, I sort of put pressure on myself that I need to do something, and I don't ever want this enjoyable hobby to feel like a pressure, like, So no, not really. Although lately, I've got two girls in school, one's in seventh grade and one's in fourth grade, and they've been studying the Underground Railroad and how quilts play into that, and that is, I can't get that off of my mind. I just keep thinking about it. So I suspect I'm going to be moving in that direction some way, some shape, some form. I don't know.
Well, then, you know, that's a really cool way to think about it, Dana, because a lot of us, I mean, I'm one who, like, I have certain quilts I want to make, but it's sort of fun not to have that locked in feeling, so you're free.
Well, yeah, because I know myself, and I'd start feeling pressured, and then I put deadlines on myself, and I don't want it to be like that. I just want it, I want to sew when I'm inspired and be inspired in the moment, and so that's kind of how I roll.
Cool. And you're an avid photographer. People will see your photos on your blog are amazing.
Oh, that's nice to say. Thank you. Yeah, I usually have a camera attached to my hip.
To your hip. That's a good place to have it because it comes in handy. And you also tell everybody about your handmade soaps because I'm a huge fan of handmade soaps.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not something I blog about a lot. It's because it's a business that I've had. It's my Old Red Barn company, soap company is essentially what it is. And I've been making soap for over 10 years and selling it for the last 8. And I don't blog about it a super lot because that's never been the intent of my blog. It's never been the focus of my blog. I don't want to be there peddling my wares and, you know, my blog serves a totally different purpose. But yeah, to answer your question, I do make soaps. I make them with goat milk, and so they're a really nice goat milk soap. Yeah. I need to send you some.
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, this has been just amazing to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been such an honor to be here.
Well, everybody go out and visit Dana Bouillard at oldredbarnco.blogspot.com. Thank you, Dana.
For more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, for quilters.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're talking to designers who have very large internet communities, you know, places where quilters hang out and chat all the time. They've built these great communities, and we're learning about them. So now let's get to Faith Jones of FreshLemonsQuilts.com. There we go, FreshLemonsQuilts.com. Hey, Faith, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, this is really fun. I just love your blog. Love it, love it, love it.
Oh, thank you so much.
You do a lot of things on the internet. You're also a pattern designer, so you have a lot of,
yes.
You have downloadable patterns, right?
And, yes.
So cool. So let's first tell me, you know, just briefly, why did you start quilting?
Well, about 3 years ago, I was pregnant with my son, and I got put on bed rest, and my mom actually came to stay with me to help take care of my daughter, and I was very bored, and she lived in Cincinnati, and I was in Chicago, so she actually came to stay for a while, and she brought her sewing machine, and she showed me how to make a quilted bib for him for when he was born, and it was nice because it was something small, but it showed me the basics, how to, you know, do the basting, and the quilting and the binding, and it was really fun. So I kind of like put that knowledge kind of in my back pocket for a while, and then went and had the newborn and went through zombie mode and everything. And when he was a little older, I started looking online at quilting and modern quilts that were online and thinking, this is really cool. I could do this. And kind of pulled that knowledge back out and decided to, you know, try my hand at it. So
you were pretty much, did you learn to quilt then more from online tutorials?
No, I used the, you know, the stuff from the bibs that my mom had taught me. So I had that. But all the inspiration and everything was all, you know, online. I did know how to do some sewing. I had made some purses and bags and things. My mom was a big quilter growing up. So I had that around me all the time. So,
good. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a combination at some point. You have some base knowledge, then you learn more here, there, and everywhere.
Right.
So tell me about what goes on at your blog, because you have tutorials and you also do sew-alongs like Dana does, that we just talked to. So what's sort of the big thing that's happening at your site right now?
Well, right now the big thing is Solstice Star Series, and it's just a quilt along for making different types of quilt blocks that are stars. So I basically kind of pulled some traditional star designs and then have come up with the assembly tutorials for people to follow along. Every Wednesday we do a different star tutorial. I'm planning on using all of mine in a quilt to gift for someone. I'm not going to spoil a surprise, but it's good for someone. And but even if people aren't going to put them all together, I don't think it's a bad thing to have, you know, a few star designs or any quilt block in your collection of blocks that you have access to, so that, you know, maybe one day you want to make a quilt out of a bunch of these stars, or you want to mix them in with other blocks and do a sampler or something like that. It's just kind of a chance for people to, you know, have access to these different tutorials.
Yeah, they're very beautiful. And you also have a Flickr group where people are sharing their blocks.
Yeah. And it's great because people have tried new things. You know, a couple of these have been paper piecing. People are always, you know, I'm not sure if I should try the paper piecing. but I try to really encourage people and have, you know, lots of photos. I think there were almost 40 photos in one of them, so people can see step by step. I'm a very visual learner, so I really like to show, you know, every little step when making something, and hopefully it takes the fear out of trying a new technique.
So, you know, what is a day like for you? Where does your workshop like at home? You know, where do you sew at?
I sew up, my house is kind of tall and narrow, so I sew up on the third floor, and it's a great little sewing space, and I set up a little area for the kids to play, although they will only tolerate, you know, maybe an hour. I have a 2-year-old, almost 3, and a 5-year-old. So,
oh my goodness.
Sometimes up here, and sometimes I sew while they nap or after an evening after they go to sleep. But it's kind of my own dedicated space that has, you know, a million threads all over the floor, and I can keep it messy and no one's going to run through it all the time, which is nice.
So do you do all your photography there too, since you have a lot of, you know, you're also a very good photographer?
Yeah, well, with the tutorials, yeah, I do it here. When I have something finished, my husband's a real trooper, and he goes out with me in the freezing cold to go outside to take some pictures because I like the natural light outside. He's become like an expert in holding the quilt up. But yeah, I do all my own photography.
Well, yeah, and outside lighting is really very good for quilts, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And he knows, like that other place is too sunny, or here's a good spot, or, you know, why don't you hang it up here or back up and get the whole barn with that quilt?
Right. Now, you have a great tutorial for the Y seam.
Yes. Yeah.
So
you
have a little...
That's something I just learned how to do. There was a quilt block I wanted to make for a friend into a pillow as a thank you gift, and it was the Jazz Hands quilt in one of the Material Obsession books, and it was just, you know, it's all Y seams. So I thought, well, I don't know how to do Y seams. And then I decided to suck it up and try it out. And they really worked as hard as I thought. And then someone on Twitter said, well, will you do a tutorial? So I thought, okay, I can do that. And just wrote one up. And I think it's really helped some people try something new.
It is. It's a very nice tutorial. And you can find that on Facebook page under the tutorials, patterns and tutorials link. So what is Twitter? How does Twitter fit into your community building?
Well, I just started on Twitter maybe a little less than a year ago, right before I went to the Sewing Summit. They said, oh, you should get on Twitter. Everyone's on Twitter. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with Twitter? I didn't really understand it. But now it's mostly, kind of, to me at least, like a little online chat room where I can talk to other, you know, like-minded quilters and, you know, just to get to know people on a more personal level. When you have a blog, people leave a comment and you can reply, you know, send an email reply, but it's not as personal as like a real-time chat with someone, and that's kind of how I view Twitter.
I think it's the same for me too, is that there, you know, there are obviously people who, you know, follow that you don't, that don't ever really, they may just read it, but the people who chat, it's like, it is like a chat room. You go back and forth and it's really a lot of fun. Cool. So did you like the Sewing Summit also, since you had a chance to meet?
I loved the Sewing Summit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of people in real life around me that quilt. I have gotten a couple of my friends into quilting, and I am going to show some friends later this month. I'm having people over to my house so I can try to, like, get people into quilting too. You know, it was mostly just the online world, and I made a lot of friends through different bees and on Flickr and on my blog. I did make some online friends, but meeting them in person was so different and so wonderful, because then, you know, you have this space that you can put with the person in the blog, and just being able to hang out for a weekend with people that are just like you, that enjoy things that you like, and I don't know, it was amazing. I'm going to go back every year. So.
Oh, cool.
I'm lucky it's by my birthday, so I can say, for my birthday present, can I just go to Sewing Summit?
Exactly. That's really cool. So, I have a question. Do you have a quilt that you need to make as a quilter?
That I need to make? Well, I really want to make the swoon quilt. Everyone's making the swoon quilt right now, right? So, it's kind of on my list. But I think I heard Dana say that she doesn't want to be, you know, pressured into making.
Right.
I mean, this list of things you have to make, and it really weighs you down. And I kind of feel that way. So, I have other things going on, and when I'm done with those, if the swoon quilt is really, you know, still in my mind, I'll probably move on to that. But I definitely don't want to feel like, I have this list of 20 quilts that I have to make, because that just takes the fun out of it. So,
You know, and I think that's really refreshing. I haven't grown up to be that yet. I haven't. I still have to make a Baltimore album quilt, you know? It's like, finish my Dear Jane, but, you know, maybe not. Maybe I'll just give them up. Put the blocks together that I have so far, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's one thing, is you don't have to make the giant full version of everything. Like, maybe you really want to try the swoon, but you just don't have time, and you have all this stuff on your plate. Well, you could make a block and turn it into a pillow, you know?
True.
The same thing for, I think, was it... I think there was just a quilt along for one of the Denise Schmidt quilts, and I saw people using just one block to make something, or four, instead of like all six or nine or whatever. So, you know.
Make a pillow or something.
Yeah.
Just to... Easy. So what do you see about the difference between people commenting on your blog and commenting on your sew along? What are the, just, sort of a observation about how your blog and quilt community works?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, in Flickr, say you're in a group and talking, you know, it's more of a discussion back and forth. Everyone can help each other with different links or questions. The blog, it's mostly kind of like a one directional, like someone leaves you a comment to you, you know, it's not, it's not as easy to have a conversation with a bunch of people.
Yeah,
I really like it Flickr. Then you can comment on a photo, and then you see it when you log into Flickr. Everyone else that's commenting, you can go back and forth. And I really, it's a little more personal.
Are you posting? You have, like, just so people understand, you have like your own personal Flickr folder, which are all the photos you probably are putting on your blog, and then you have the sew along.
Right. Flickr. Yeah, I have, you know, my personal Flickr with all my photos, and people can comment on those if they want, or they can comment on my blog. And then there's also the Fresh Lemons Quilts group, and that's where I do discussion threads for, you know, the tutorials for each block, or, you know, find out where other people blog so we can all meet each other. People can post pictures of things they've made from my tutorials or patterns to see what everyone else is working on. So it's another just little subset of the community.
So what is one of the favorite quilts that you've done so far, you know, of maybe the patterns that you've published? Do you have one that's your personal, current personal favorite?
I just did one, a prism quilt, which was paper piece with grays and different colors. I really liked that one. You know, it's fun. It was very simple paper piecing, just, you know, straight lines, but 99 blocks, so it was kind of a lot of them, but... I really enjoyed that. When I went to a local arboretum to take the photo, and there were people hiking, and they stopped and said, can we take a photo of this? I was like, okay. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. That was kind of funny. But that's probably one of my current favorites right now.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I think, you know, it's nice to have a favorite, you know, because like your children, you can't have a favorite one. So
Yeah, my kids like one of the first quilts I made, and it's a string quilt using Good Folks fabric, and it's very comfortable. They call it the colorful quilt. Every time I look at the quilting, I kind of cringe because it was one of my first quilts, so it's not that great, but it's their favorite, so of course it's out all the time, and I love that they love it, and if they're not feeling well, they say, can we get the colorful quilt, and they want to cuddle under it, and that makes it special.
Cool. Well, Faith, this has just been awesome to have you on.
Yes.
I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been great.
Well, I'd like everybody to go visit Faith Jones at FreshLemonsQuilts.com and check out all her things. Maybe you want to join in a sew-along and make some stars. Thanks, Faith.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and we are talking to internet designers who have fabulous communities out there. And I have to bring on Judy Laquadaria of Patchwork Times, because Judy has been blogging for quite a while.
A long time,
Judy. I know. Judy, I think you might be the first blog I ever found.
I started in 2004.
Wow. Yeah. Really, was anybody else blogging when you were?
There were some. I don't remember any quilt bloggers. I know there were some other bloggers, and I know there were some other quilt bloggers. I just didn't know about them at the time.
Right. You know, a lot of people who did yarn, and you also knit, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of yarn bloggers to begin with. They kind of hooked in there really quickly.
Paved the way for us.
Yes, they did. That's it. Now the quilters are like all over the place. So let's talk about the blogging, because for you, it's a huge extension of what you do. I mean, you're a very prolific blogger, because sometimes you even blog more than once a day.
Most every day. I blog 3 or 4 times a day. But my blog isn't just about quilting. It's about, you know, gardening and chickens and whatever we happen to have, moving, whatever is happening in our life at the time.
Mm-hmm. I was reading right now, it's about your husband picking up dinner. So, yes.
I'm milking this sore finger as long as I can.
Right. Well, I think that's a good plan. Personally, I don't see anything wrong with that. So when you started your blog, why did you start it, Judy? I'm just curious. I don't think I ever asked you that.
We were living in Kentucky, and I didn't know a lot of people, and I wasn't involved in a quilt guild there, and I just kind of wanted to communicate with some other people. And so I thought, well, I'll just start chatting on, set up a blog and see what happens. And other quilters found me, and first thing you knew, we had a little quilting community going.
So when did you decide that, and why did you decide, maybe, I'm really curious, that you wanted to journal about all kinds of things rather than just quilting, and therefore you needed to journal more often than just once a day?
Well, it's just about my life. That's what on my blog I say, it's about my life, and it really is. Because when we had the chickens, that was as much fun as quilting was. And when I've got a garden and I'm harvesting, well, you know, there may be a whole week that I'm not even quilting. I'm just canning or whatever. And so the people who come and read my blog, there are a few who aren't even quilters, but there are a lot of quilters who do the same things I do, have chickens and have gardens and do canning So the ones who don't do those things, they can generally find a quilting post to interest them. But the ones who do the same things that I do, there's almost always something for them.
I think that's one of the reasons why your blog is appealing to a very large group. That's just why I think it is because you're sharing all these different things and people can connect to them. You know, right. I have a neighbor with chickens. I don't have chickens, but I have a neighbor with chickens. And so I can relate to that. That's
right, right. I know, and some of the people really feel like they know me. You know, when we were going through the drama of the move, I would have people write me, and they were in tears.
No.
We couldn't find a house, and they were so worried about us. And I was like, it's going to work out. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But they really connect.
I know. It's really true. They really do. And you know, you as a designer, you also have gone out on the road and taught. You've done competition work. You have published books. I mean, you're quite, you know, authored and have been in the quilt community a long time. So you, when you were traveling, you were gathering all these people to follow you.
Right. Right.
Yes. So you built, like, you know, probably followers that may have not really done it much on the internet when
right.
you were out on the road teaching.
Yeah, and then people will, you know, somebody will mention at their guild that there's a free quilt pattern on my blog, and somebody will go to the blog and they'll start following that way. You just never know how you pick these people up, but they come and they stay, and I'm happy to have them.
Now, what I'm really curious about, or have to share with you, it's not even curious, but you started your Design Wall Monday, where you have the
right.
link parties, where people can link to their blog. How long has that been going on, your Monday?
Oh, several years. I'm not sure exactly when we started posting our stash reports on Sunday first, and then I just kind of wanted something a little more exciting, and so we went with the Design Wall Monday. And I started that because a lot of people, especially moms with small children or during canning season, you just can't quilt, and yet somehow you feel like you're getting your quilt fixed when you at least go see what other people are doing. And then the people who will post what pattern they're using, or if it came out of a magazine, a lot of us, you know, will see these designs and say, oh, I want to make that, you know, and go out and buy the pattern, buy the magazine, buy the book.
Right.
And so it's publicity, you know, for the good patterns and just to see other people's take on a pattern. You may see something in a magazine that really doesn't interest you, but then you see somebody doing it in totally different colors, and it's like, I want to make that. So it really gives you a broader spectrum of what's going on out there to see what other people are making.
It's a really, really cool thing to have. I mean, there are some others. I think somebody does one on Wednesdays, and, you know, just a sharing of what's on their blog. But I have to tell you, Judy, now this is a true story, okay?
Okay.
My friend Roberta. Okay, hi, Roberta. You probably don't even listen to this. Roberta does internet stuff, but she does other kind of communities like Yahoo communities and things. Well, she didn't blog. Now, she doesn't even read my blog, and she's my friend. And so she wrote me. She goes, I need a blog. And I'm like, why? You know, she's because I need to post on Judy's page.
Oh, how sweet. Well, and I always tell people, you know, you can start a blog. There's so many places to do it for free. And the first few times you try it, you may lose everything, but eventually you'll get the hang of it. And you don't have to post every day. And if you just want to join and have, you know, just feel connected to the group, then start a blog.
Yeah, and I think that's what Roberta's done. And she's pretty much just sharing. You know, she's a very prolific quilter, and she does gorgeous, gorgeous work. So we're really lucky that she's finally decided to have a blog. And so she's sharing what she's working on. I think she only does that for Mondays.
Oh, great. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I never get tired of quilting. But when I go and see what everybody's working on Mondays, it really excites me. It makes me want to quilt all night.
Oh, I know. I go see somebody says, like, oh, now I can't get that out of my head. I want to make that too. So, yeah, it's terrible. Tell me a little bit about Ravelry, because you do yarn, and Ravelry is like this enormous community built around the yarn, but there's also quilt forums or boards within there. Do you still
Somebody who had computer knowledge would make something similar for quilters, because you can go in on Ravelry and post your project that you're working on and then update it through. I mean, it's just a really neat setup, but it's just a big group, and there are all the different forums. There are forums for tanners and quilters and moms.
Cooking.
And everything. Yeah, it's just everything is there. But the way they have it set up, it's just real easy to follow your project. And here's what I'll tell people. If you find a sweater you want to make, you can pull up that pattern on there, and then you can see all the sweaters other people have made, you know, that they've shown on there. And so you can see if it's one that somebody's about your size, about your height, about your weight, what it looks like on them. You know, that's one of the reasons I love to quilt, is it doesn't have to fit. You know?
Oh, I know. I know. And I don't make anything that has to fit anymore. That's
right.
I gave that up.
Yeah, I'm pretty safe with my socks.
That's right.
I can knit socks and they fit.
So, Judy, tell me about your favorite quilt. I know you have it written up on your blog, but for people who haven't visited you yet, and it's all about internet community, the the quilt that's your favorite?
Right. I don't even remember the year. Maybe it's probably in the blog post. But mm-hmm. I believe it was American Patchwork and Quilting, where you were sending mm-hmm. your blocks that were made, your pink blocks, and they were putting them mm-hmm. together for mm-hmm. To be auctioned. I think they'd put the blocks together into a quilt and right. it'd be auctioned off on eBay. And so right. there were a whole group of us from Alex Anderson's webpage at the time. She had a quilting group. And we decided we didn't want our blocks mixed in with other people's blocks. So I said, everybody send me a block, either a dark pink background or a light pink background, mm-hmm. and I'll put it together into this quilt. And it was just a friendship star quilt. And so we put it together. I put it together, and I quilted it and sent it off. And so when it got mm-hmm. time for it to be auctioned on eBay, I wanted it back.
Yeah.
And
right.
My husband is such a tightwad. He just could not figure out why I wanted to bid on this quilt that I had yeah. made when I could make another one. And I said, I can't. Mm-hmm. My friends all have blocks in this. I want this
yeah.
one. And it ended up that I kept bidding against this person, and the quilt got way more expensive than I should have been paying. But this other person ended up winning it.
Yeah.
And I could not figure out why somebody wanted that quilt so bad. And my friends all got together and told me this story that it was somebody from East Texas, and mm-hmm. I said, well, when I go to visit my parents in Louisiana, I'm going to find that person. And I'm going to ask them why they wanted this quilt so bad. And luckily, I forgot about it. But it ended mm-hmm. up that I was bidding against a friend in California who was trying to get it back to give to me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
So she said the money went to a good cause, but I sure ran it up because she was determined she was going to get it. So we call it the boomerang quilt because it came back to me.
Oh, my gosh. So my girlfriend, that same auction thing that happened, me and my girlfriends put together a quilt, and my one friend, Debbie, did the layout, set all the blocks like a big pink ribbon, and her future husband bid and bought it for her as a surprise.
Oh, that was nice. I know how she feels because I was so surprised when I saw that quilt, when yep. I got that quilt back. So that is my favorite quilt.
And the person who bought it wasn't available to hand it to you. Another group of friends did?
Right. I was hosting a retreat in Paducah. Mm-hmm. And Vicky, the girl that had bought it, was going to give it to me, and she couldn't come. And so she had mm-hmm. somebody else bring it to me and read me a letter that she had written. And, mm-hmm. of course, I cried. But anyway, so I have that quilt. And in fact, the girl that helped me coordinate it was a girl from Pennsylvania who I have never met, and I'm hosting a retreat in Brownwood this weekend, and the girl from Pennsylvania uh-huh. is coming, and I will meet her for the first time. So I told her, I said, I'll bring the quilt because she's never seen
yeah.
it.
Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting.
I know.
Meeting, yeah, you've had a chance to meet a lot of the people in person, so you're pretty lucky.
I have, yes.
Well, Judy, this has been so wonderful. Thank you for coming on and talking about your internet communities. It's Judy Laquadaria of PatchworkTimes.com. So, Judy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So this has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Go out to our website, allpeoplequilt.com, where we have tips and tricks and videos and free patterns. Sign up for our newsletter. Then come back next week for a new show. This is Pat Sloan, your host. Bye-bye.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.